Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 9 through 15 again. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Pray after this manner. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. The Gospel of Luke, in harmony with this passage of Scripture, chapter 11 and verse 4, calls it sins. Here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, And forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors, those who have sinned, those who have trespassed against us. As we said last week in the close of our message, we said this is the only part of the prayer, and verses 14 and 15 are part of it. Verses 14 and 15 are just, shall we say, an exposition of verse 12, of what he said in verse 12. It's the only part of the prayer in which the Lord comes back to dwell upon before moving on to fasting. And we know it's part of it because he says, for, in verse 14. Or because. In other words, it's goes right along with the prayer, the model, the pattern, the manner in which we're to pray. Keep that in thought, in the manner in which we are to pray. Yes, this is a confession of our sins, and in asking God to forgive us, but keep in mind, if we come to God in prayer, confessing our sins, and any other requests and supplications, if we have not forgiven others, hear not hear and answer our prayer and forgive us our sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and we love him. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we learn that while in a while we haven't forgiven someone. And
What Jesus is teaching us here in this Sermon on the Mount is that if we come and we haven't forgiven, we don't need to expect Him to forgive us until we get that right.
And forgive someone else. So every day we ought to be forgiving one another, and every day then we ought to be confessing our sins to God and asking Him to forgive us. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 13. He said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's why I ask. Is it well with your soul? Has He forgiven you your sins? Then in turn, if He has, it just follows that we ought to be forgiving of one another. So in verse 14 and 15, because they are connected, because if ye forgive men their trespasses. Why did Jesus expound on this thought of forgiveness? Why did He expound on it? Well, because He knew that would be the hardest thing within man to do. It's an impossibility. For the human flesh, for the natural man, to forgive others as he ought to. Apart from Christ. I said, apart from Christ. He knew that man would not be able to do it apart from Him, apart from the grace of God. Now, there again, that's one of those that, it seems like for some of us, it takes more grace than it does for others. But for all of us, it takes the grace of God in order to be able to forgive. Look with me at the book of Luke in chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and look with me at verse 3. Jesus again speaking says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Listen, I tell you today, there are many so-called Christians, and I, for one, in the past, hopefully not so now, had trouble with that business of forgiving him. And the attitude of mine and the attitude of so many is, well, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget about it. Then you haven't forgiven. You haven't forgiven.
we're to forgive as Christ forgave us.
And how did He forgive us?
Our sins are removed from us. The old sin account is gone. It's not there any longer. Why? What is it wiped out by? It's wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Scripture says, it's moved as far as the east is from the west. Well, how far is that? Well, it's infinite.
In the depths of the deepest sea.
How deep is that? Well, infinite. There's some seas that are what, 5,000-6,000 feet deep? More? Now, concerning the number of infinite, look at verse 4.
And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
It's not that, 7 times, but now the 8th time. No, it's the number of infinity he's talking about. It doesn't matter how often it may happen, you forgive him. Well, let me tell you something. If they really repented of that, then they wouldn't do it again.
Well, let's apply that same principle to you. Jesus said,
how come you keep coming back to me for the same sin? Asking forgiveness. If you really repented of it, then you won't do it anymore. You see? Repentance, yes, is a turning from that sin. But it's a striving never to fall back into it again. It's a striving, you see. It's a continual labor.
He said in our text, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
That is on the subject of prayer. That's the subject, the context. Context, context, context. The subject is prayer. You're coming to God in prayer. You're coming to your Heavenly Father in prayer. And in the manner in which you come determines whether He'll hear. Whether He'll answer.
Your request. And on this subject of forgiveness,
if you've got aught in your heart against anyone, in fact, Jesus even said, if you know of someone who has aught against you, take care of it. Before you perform any act of worship.
But on the subject of forgiveness, we can't go to Him confessing our sins and expect Him to forgive us our sins and ask any other request until I've forgiven Brother Ron. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. Chapter 1. Mm-hmm.
Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, He was the light of the world. What's it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, as Jesus Christ is light, and we walk in that light, what does it mean to walk in that light? What does it mean to walk in the light of Jesus Christ? As He forgave you all your sins, which are many, which we would say are innumerable. So forgive ye your brother. That's what it means to walk in light.
Yes.
As Jesus Christ did. And Jesus Christ walked in forgiveness. And I'm so thankful He did. And you ought to be too. And why can't I, or why do I find it so hard to forgive you? That puts us in shame, doesn't it? But if not, He said in verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Simply put, He'll not hear. He'll not hear because you have an unforgiving spirit in your heart. And so you can't even go to Him until you've gotten right with your brethren. And then, come confessing your sins to your Heavenly Father. We referred to this a few minutes ago. Chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you're coming to worship the Lord. You're coming to worship the Lord with the sacrifices, with the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God, and the paying of tithes and offerings to the Lord. And then remember that thy brother hath aught against you. Later on, remember that I haven't forgiven him something. Or he senses that friction is there. Maybe he doesn't know specifically, but he senses there's something's not right. Leave there I have. Don't even try to worship me, he said. Leave off! And go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And then come and worship me with the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and the paying of tithes and offerings. What's that say about our entering into the house of the Lord today? Listen, before we enter, that's why I preach that when we leave here this afternoon,
We're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're making preparation for the next Lord's Day. Listen, you take care of it before you enter those doors back there. You can't even enter those doors back there on the Lord's Day and worship the Lord and have Him accept your worship if you've got a problem with your brother. If you haven't forgiven him.
Boy, if this was practiced, I wonder what kind of worship we would offer up to our God.
If this was practiced. Oh, if this was practiced in our Baptist churches across America today. There wouldn't be these fighting and bickerings and squabbles going on in the Lord's churches that you hear of.
Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus speaking again said, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, forgive." Is not the subject prayer? Jesus said, when you're going to come in prayer, forgive. Why? Why should I forgive? Why should I forgive Brother Mike? That your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. That He'll hear, because so that He'll hear and He'll forgive you when you come to Him in prayer.
Folks, this hasn't always been so in my life. Maybe it's always been that way with you. Maybe you've been all just fine, but in my past Christian life, I've had a big problem with this. The Lord worked on me much over the years, and He's still working on me. I pray that bitter spirit never comes back again. By His grace, it hasn't and it won't. Going on in the rest of the model prayer, he said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is an acknowledgement. An acknowledgement that I'm liable. That you're liable. At any moment to fall into sin. Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 30. And you want... Well, I say, you want a good practical book to read concerning living by faith, living your Christian life? Boy, Proverbs is really got it. But there's a whole lot of spiritual there, too. Listen, the spiritual has to be right before the practical be right. You see? You can get the practical right, but if the spiritual is not right, then you're just a scribe and a Pharisee. Yeah. Amen. Nothing more. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8.
He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Remove far from me falsehoods and lies, that is speech that is not truthful. We dealt with this back in the fifth chapter to an extent. He said, remove that far from me. See, we're liable. We're liable to be deceivers and liars. We can't say too much about Jacob, can we? And deceiving his father and through deception, stealing the birthright. We can't say too much about Jacob because in many ways we're just like Jacob, right? We're deceivers and liars. We're weak. We're helpless. We're weak and helpless and not able to resist the temptation. If we don't look to Him, if we don't look to the Lord, if we don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ for grace to deliver us. Here in the book of Proverbs, the writer was looking to the Lord. Remove it from me. He knew that there was an ever-present danger in his life, and he said, Lord, remove it from me. What's an ever-present danger in my life, in yours? We need to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Don't give us more than we can bear, we might say. Well, how does He do that? How does His grace come to us, enabling us to be the victor over those temptations that come our way? The 119th Psalm. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, make his way clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are you going to clean your way? By taking heed to the word of God. What does it mean to take heed to the word of God? It means to read it, to hear it, and to do it. Well, not only that, it means this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It means to with our whole heart seek him. Where are you going to find him? There's a lot of people going around here batting the air. They got some fictitious feeling of God and who God is and how they're seeking after Him, but they never go to the Word of God. He's revealed to us in His Word.
Amen.
Great message yesterday. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart. I might not say, listen, it takes a constant reading and looking to the Word of God. And you that are younger, you that are younger than Brother France, hide it in your heart. Why? Because when it gets in the heart, it
It's going to fight off that temptations that come your way. It's going to cleanse your way. It's going to cleanse your walk.
And so he told Joshua. Didn't he tell Joshua that? Joshua chapter 1. In verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And how is it not going to depart out of your mouth? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That is, you're going to moan over it, you're going to growl over it, you're going to muse over it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. You give attention to it, and then you do it according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Oh, I'm going to be prosperous in riches and finances, and I'm going to have a mansion on the hillside. No! That's not what that word prosperous means. That word prosperous means to make progress and to succeed. To make progress and succeed in what? In the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. In living it. And being victorious over sin and temptation. And then thou shalt have good success. You'll be circumspect. You'll be upright. You'll walk in the upright paths in a way that is pleasing unto God. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong. How are you going to be strong? By taking heed according to the Word of God, meditating upon it. And of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And he'll be with you in all your goings. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, in the New Testament, he said, there is no temptation taking you, but just such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, will make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it, that you may be able to rise up above it and be victorious. God will make the way. Look to Him. Look to His Word. Hide His Word in your heart, that you might be victorious. Deliver us from evil. Oh, listen. You and I are no match for the evil that is within and for the evil that is without. God, I need you to deliver me from my own evil self. I need you to deliver me from the evil that is without. He does. He does. So in this prayer, we're acknowledging that fact. What help us to do to deliver ourselves from even the evil that is within us? If we can't deliver ourselves from the only our own evil self, how are we going to deliver ourselves from the evil that is without? From the temptations of the evil one. We can't. So Jesus himself prayed for us. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 17. Book of John chapter 17 and verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world? You see, because we're here, it's His will that we are here. If it wasn't His will, He'd take us out. After we saw the grown folks, He's still here because it's God's will that He's still here. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep me from my evil self. That is the dominion of sin in my life. And the evil that is without, that would rush in upon me. Second Timothy, chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, Paul said to Timothy, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. This is Paul. We know how Paul was persecuted. We know how Paul was stoned and left for dead. We know how Paul was beaten with stripes. Many times. He said, God delivered me out of them all. He delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, that evil one. And the Lord shall deliver me. He has delivered me, and He shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Are you persuaded? And Paul was persuaded. Paul is an example. If we think of the Apostle Paul and we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he's an example to us that God will deliver us. Yes. Amen. From every evil. And if we can look back and see where God has delivered us. And we can say, He shall deliver me. And will preserve me. Under His heavenly kingdom. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, He also, Christ Himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. What greater evil is there that could come upon us than death? And death has no more dominion over us. Oh, we're not talking about the death of the physical, are we? We're talking about the death of the spiritual. And death has no more power. Why? Because Christ, our brother, was victorious over death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now the conclusion of the prayer. Try to keep this short. Or we'll rush through it in a hurry. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, what a powerful closing. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this greatly resembles David's prayer. Let's take a quick look at David's prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles in chapter 29, verse 11. Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. See the resemblance in the two? For thine is the kingdom. Yes. It's His. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's His. Kingdom of God. That shows possession. He's in possession of His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. And being His, He's the sovereign one. He's the one ruling. As I said yesterday, He planned it all. And He's sovereign over, and He's working to bring everything that He planned to pass. And He's the Almighty One. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, it shall come to pass. He's the sovereign ruling over His kingdom. He's the sovereign over heaven and earth. Not just His kingdom. Ask Nebuchadnezzar about that. I think Nebuchadnezzar, when he got done, I think he was a changed man. I think he was a saved man. He ended up. Some disagree with me. You might disagree with me here. It's all right. Read Daniel chapter 4 a little closer then. That's all I got to say. He wasn't the same man as he was before. God showed him who he was. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom. As we said on the subject, His kingdom has come and is coming and shall be. He said, Thy will be done. For thine is the power. His will is being done because He has the power to do His will. Hallowed be thy name. Well, first of all, back up. He told Abram in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, He said, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I'm Almighty. What's it mean to be Almighty? I have it all. You don't have any. Do you think you do? God can remove it from you. You only have what God allows you to have. Yes, amen. I only have what God allows me to have. Hallowed be thy name. For thine is the glory. His name's holy. Because He's holy, He's deserving of all glory. All honor. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Let everything that hath breath... No. I'm sorry. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Oh, what a great benediction this is. It's one of praise and it's one of thanksgiving. Psalms 150 closes out a benediction to praising the Lord. And then it names
a host of set of instruments, musical instruments that make sound. Someone referred to it yesterday. Maybe it was Brother Ron. Let that praise him. Let this praise him. Let that praise him. Let this, and this. The high sounding cymbals, let it praise him. Let the trumpet praise him. Closed it off that psalm with, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In praise and thanksgiving, we're asking that he be honored. And that he honor our petitions according to his desire, according to his will. And that he brings them to pass. And then the amen. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. What? According to your will. Let it be so. Not according to my will, but according to thy will. And then in closing, Psalm 72, in verse 19. He said, "And blessed be his glorious name forever." Blessed be his glorious name forever. "And let the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. "And let the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. So be it. So be it. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing. Brother Mike.
Number 396.